You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already on this Friday afternoon. We're going to talk about the southern border. I've called this next part of the Triple Dipper, build the wall. I mean, for the love. If we can put a man on the moon, how is it we can't build a wall? Why does it have to be so incredibly hard and painful? That being said, we're going to bring on a guest here in a moment, but I'll point out this to you. Last month alone, the Border Patrol saw 181,000 illegal crossings. We've got Border Patrol sectors that are over capacity, including Del Rio sector in Texas, which is at 280% capacity right now. We got Border Patrol agents who's had their firearms qualification, use of force training, and suicide awareness training all put on a two-week hold most recently because they are too busy dealing with a migrant surge. Democrat El Paso Mayor Oscar Leeser said his city's at a breaking point. Democrat Eagle Pass Mayor declared a state of emergency. I mean, the whole thing's a mess. Now, I will say this. I saw some members of our delegation, Senator Katie Britt, and then other members of the U.S. Senate, down on the border most recently, and then I had a text exchange with our next caller, and I thought, you know what, let's get him on the show. So I am pleased to bring on someone who has spent a great deal of time in our state and federal politics representing the state of Alabama, most recently as the congressman for Congressional District 5. That's our former congressman, Mo Brooks. Mo, how you doing today?
Doing great. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Well, thank you. I mean, you've definitely got the experience and and I know that you've seen some things over the years that I just have to wonder. I mean, give us the backdrop. You saw a lot of this through the, prior to, between Obama and Biden, we were starting to get things under control during the Trump administration, and now here we are in a massive mess. Your thoughts?
Well, in 2009 and 2010, there were very few number of issues that motivated me to run for the United States Congress. Border security was a big one, so I have done my best to develop expertise on the problems, the causes, how to fix them. Consistent with that, Numbers USA ranked me number one out of 435 congressmen on real border security during the 12 years that I was in the United States Congress. That's kind of a backdrop. Now, here's the situation, and people need to understand that America is very compassionate with our lawful immigration system. In fact, we are the most compassionate, most open border country on the planet. No nation gives as much entry into their home turf of foreign-born citizens than does the United States of America. Nobody does that. And the highest honor a nation can bestow on someone is called citizenship. Well, in 2022, by way of example, we bestowed our highest honor, citizenship, on 970,000 foreign-born individuals. That's more than any other country on earth, and almost as many as every other country on earth put together.
Wow.
So that gives you an idea of where we stand compared to everybody else. Now, there is a cost to illegal immigration. That cost ranges anywhere from about $150 billion on the low side. That's an estimate per a study by Federation for American Immigration Reform. I believe it's closer to $200 billion. And I say it's higher because FAIR relies on official government numbers for illegal aliens in America, and I'm sure that those are lowball numbers.
Yeah.
It's a lot higher than what the government will admit to. So we have a net tax loss at the city, county, and state federal level of about $200 billion coming out of taxpayers' pockets, out of families that need it pockets, and given to help and assist illegal aliens. I'm not talking about all these lawful immigrants. I'm talking about the illegal ones. Additionally, an adverse effect from all this cheap foreign labor, illegal cheap foreign labor, is that there is wage suppression. When you increase the supply of anything, everything else being constant, the price goes down. So So the wage suppression for blue-collar workers is about $2,000 per year. They lose an income they would otherwise get, but for the artificially inflated labor supply from this cheap foreign labor. Now, when you get to solutions, if you hear a politician talking and he doesn't talk about these two things, then discount every word coming out of that politician's mouth. Number one, how many people are we going to lawfully allow in the United States of America? Because some of these people who say they want border security, they're talking about, yeah, we'll just double the number that come in legally, and boom, we don't have to worry about an illegal alien problem anymore because they're here lawfully. Then you also have to, in that same context, is how much amnesty do they want to get to people that are already here? So the second part of all this, then, deals with the amnesty issue. First, how many lawfully come in? Second, what are you going to do with the ones that illegally come in? Are you going to deport them, or are you going to give them amnesty? So if you don't ask politicians those two questions, or if those politicians don't bring up those two issues on their own, then my experience has been they're not really serious. They're just posturing to make it look like they're for border security so that they can win their next election, and that's about it. So well, that's kind of the backdrop on it.
That's a great backdrop, and it's obviously you've been steeped in these facts and figures and experiences. But let me ask you this. So the other day, Lindsey Graham was making some comments at the podium, and your thoughts on that, because you reminded me. I'd forgotten. I mean, the Gang of Eight. I mean, I had even forgotten about. I had a note written down to myself, tucked in my wallet, to review the Gang of Eight, like for several years, and it's, you know, that's water under the bridge for most people now. But your thoughts on where they were back in the day and what he's not saying the right way now?
Well, Lindsey Graham is one of these that advocates amnesty for illegal aliens who are already here. Now, he might vary a little bit on how much amnesty, but no question, he promotes it. And the Gang of Eight amnesty bill was a bill that I tag-teamed with Jeff Sessions on, me on the House side, him on the Senate side, and we killed Lindsey Graham's Gang of Eight amnesty bill. And that battle lasted more than a year.
Yeah.
2 years. Okay? And it was rough. And then when Paul Ryan became Speaker of the House, I was able to muster enough votes, enough colleagues who would support me in this endeavor, to where I could go to Paul Ryan and say, Paul, if you want to be elected Speaker of the House, you have to agree to these terms. And I handed him a term sheet. And he said, okay. And he put his name on it. And the basic premise of the term sheet is we have no bills that provide amnesty unless a majority of the Republican conference has first agreed to it. Because what's happened in the past is we have these open borders, cheap foreign labor Republicans, plus the Democrats killing us on border security. So we may have a Republican majority, but as we saw in 2017 and 2018, we don't have a majority that's willing to build the wall and actually have significant improvements in our border security efforts. But all those politicians in Washington on the Republican side, they have to mouth the words, at least appear to be, for border security, because if they don't, they may lose in a Republican primary.
Yeah,
you can trust them if you want to, but you better verify.
Yeah.
Because these guys are spinning a tail, and if the public doesn't figure it out, then we're going to continue on the path that we've been on now for more than two decades.
So let me ask you this. In your experience, why is it so freaking hard to build a wall? I mean, we can build skyscrapers. We can put men on the moon. We can do any kind of, you know, major technology advances in the world, and yet we can't get a wall built. Why is that hard?
We have the technical and construction ability. The issue is one of will, and there is not a will to build that wall. And that wall may cost $30 or $40 billion, but when you're talking about roughly $200 billion a year and net tax losses,
yeah,
because we don't have a wall, that wall pays for itself in the first few months.
Yep, sure does. And that's not even taking into account the social factors like fentanyl deaths and upheaval in families. And
that's correct. We've got over 70,000 people each year,
yes,
who are dead because of our poor southern border. These people, about 2,000 of them, were literally killed. They died at the hands of illegal aliens, killed on American soil. Plus, you've got another 70, 80,000 that die from fentanyl and other drugs where they succumb to the temptation. The drugs were either too strong or mixed with something else, and they died of overdoses.
Yeah. I mean,
that's more than we lost in Vietnam in a year.
Yeah, and
we went to war in Afghanistan and Iraq, as you well know, when we lost 2,000 to 3,000.
Yep.
Yet we're losing 70,000 to 80,000 dead a year.
Yep. It's an amazing thing to watch, and the very idea that it hasn't been framed that way. I'm hoping in the presidential cycle we're in right now, that we begin to hear that framed exactly the way you just said it, because to me it's galling. If we had a terrorist organization or a foreign nation that did a single act that created that level of loss of life, we'd be at war tomorrow. But right now we're not taking any action on the southern border. It's a dereliction of duty, in my opinion.
Well, the only candidate that I have confidence in that will actually be strong on border security, as you and I and most people understand that phrase, is Ron DeSantis. Maybe Mike Pence, but definitely not Tim Scott. I don't know where Ramaswamy is. I don't know where a couple of the lesser governor candidates are. I do know about Donald Trump, and he had 4 years to get it done, and it was his number one campaign promise, and he never even gave us a bill to keep his number one campaign promise, i.e., build a wall and Mexico will pay for it. Never sent a proposal of any kind over to the United States Congress, and towards the end of his term, he was lobbying us for amnesty.
Mm.
And I'm going, holy cow, what a 180-degree difference. Now, that got a little bit of publicity, but not much. You know, people are used to Donald Trump going left and right and left and backwards and forwards. He's kind of all over the public policy map. It's almost like throwing darts from day to day. Whoever talks to him last.
Well, and hey, listen, I know that you have an economics background, and we've only got, I tell you what, Mo, would you mind hanging on during a break? I want to come
Happy
back
to.
And ask you. Okay,
I'm
let's
retired.
Do that.
I'm retired. I got all the time in the world, Bill.
You're at the lake house today. All right, tell you
That's
what,
right.
we'll take a break right now. We'll come back in just a few minutes. We'll finish up a conversation with former Congressman Mo Brooks. By the way, still one of my favorite moments on any news show when he got asked, are you an economics expert? And yes, he is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Yeah, making common sense a superpower. Hey, G.I. Joe from Birmingham just texted in. He says, Phil, I'm listening to your conversation with the former congressman, and it boils my blood. The immigrants coming in, they don't want to be citizens. They don't want to pay taxes. They want to come here, get as much as they can, much money as they can, and then go home. They're not concerned with our way of life. They don't want to adopt it as theirs. They just want to make enough money to go back to their homeland and live rich. And I don't disagree with your sentiments, man. I mean, there are still those who come here, I know, because they have in mind the American dream. It's a place of opportunity. It's a better life than what they had back home. But your text, the reason why I read that out, is because it leads to the question that I want to jump right back in on. We're on the phone right now with former Congressman Mo Brooks, who represented the state of Alabama ably for a number of years from the Huntsville region, Congressional District 5. Hey, so Congressman, let me ask you a question. You saw legislation. You saw a lack of legislation. You know economics. You know fiscal policy, what can and cannot happen. So a moment ago, this text I just read out, I hope you heard me read it, the individual talks about how so many of the illegals come here and they're sending money back home. I did some study the other day on this. $54 billion annually is wired just to Mexico alone. It's a major piece of their economy from immigrants in the United States, $54 billion. If we were to assess that or tax that or find some way to put a surcharge on that, we could partially pay for the wall. What are your thoughts on that? Is that even possible?
It is possible. Mike Rogers advocated that for a while. The problem is people are smart, and they're going to try to figure out a way to avoid taxes. And when they're illegal, they have a double incentive not to obey our tax law. And so probably what would end up happening is you'd have third parties that the money would now get routed through, so it would go someplace else before it went to Mexico.
That's the challenge. I feel certain you're right. Either that or they'll just package it up and put it in the Postal Service and mail it home.
By the way, I got a text, too, from somebody who heard me, and that person wanted me to emphasize that one of the big problems is we have a huge incentive for illegal aliens, as soon as they get here, to have kids, because those kids act as anchors, much harder to deport. And, of course, all those kids are on welfare that we American taxpayers are paying for.
Well, and you make a great point. The other night, Vivek Ramaswamy brought up, and Tim Scott agreed with him, that one of the things that has to change is the notion that the interpretation of the laws regarding anchor babies has to change, that we cannot continue to say if you walk across the border illegally and have your baby, that baby is now an American citizen, and guess what? We're going to wind up giving you great favor.
The vast majority of other nations around the globe have a different standard. The mere having of a child on their turf does not make that child a citizen of that country. They look at parentage, where the parents are from, also whether the parents are here on a permanent basis or a temporary basis, whether the parents are here legally or illegally. But right now it's a huge incentive to break our laws, because once you cross that border and you can impregnate somebody, you're sitting on a pile of gold.
Yeah.
Taxpayer gold.
You really are. I had a friend who was a he worked in the OBGYN arena, and he said that more often than he could care to discuss, that he saw what he called birth tourism, and they would literally fly in sometimes from out of the country and have their baby. And just, he said it was galling to know that they were doing it with intent, as opposed to it just happening while they're on vacation.
Well-to-do people in repressive nations like Russia or China, and many others, that's what they do. They've got the resources to do it. They believe that that gives their child an out should things take for a turn for the worse in their repressive nations or economically devastated nations.
Well, there's a way to skin this cat, and we hadn't gotten there yet, but I do hope
we just got to elect people who want to do it.
I hope it comes front and center during the presidential campaign, like real soon, but then more than anything, I hope it becomes a true measure of action in whatever the next administration is. Hey, Congressman, thanks for making time with us. Enjoy your lake house, all right?
I'm doing it.
All right, you have a great day, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I tell you what, there's a guy who's been in the mix on it. He knows the deal. Actually stood with Jeff Sessions to fight for certain things and to prevent amnesty. And he's got the metrics and he's got the experience. But we're going to keep talking about this. We're going to come right back. And I'm going to give you some of the latest. Like, did you know that Elon Musk decided to go to the border yesterday? Live streaming on his own social media service. It's just unusual to me. But you know what? It's a clear indication that there are people paying attention even when the president of the United States was in Arizona for a fundraiser but wouldn't go to the border. Wow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.